The book of Acts, chapter 19. We want to continue the study of prevailing and everlasting gospel. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to know the Word of God is so important. Without it, we wouldn't know salvation. Without it, we wouldn't know the good life we can have in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you remember, we kicked off this study in book of Acts chapter 19, verse 20. That's such a small verse, but it's got such great meaning and power. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Our Father in heaven, now as we continue to search your scriptures, that we may be stronger and more perfect for you, give us understanding tonight. Lord, help us not to concentrate on anything but what's happening here now around your word. Our desire, Lord, is to be a great church for you. And this year, we want it to be the best we've ever been. And with your help and with your leadership, God, we expect great things. These folks here, they love you. I know they do. Lord, we're going to ask them to do great things this year. And I pray that they'll have the heart to say yes and take the challenges that we put before them, that souls may be saved, families may, Lord, be strengthened in this day of wickedness of the world. In Christ's name, amen. If you remember right, and I don't want to rehash the whole service of last week, but we told you that there were all kinds of religions and schisms in the days of Christ. There was Judaism, but there's all sorts of other things that was taking place. And the Word of God was brought to them. And as we studied last week, that the Word of God really makes people take inventory of their life. Lost or saved life. If we get into the Word of God and the message is preached, it really makes us take inventory of where we stand before a great and mighty and perfect God. We know that at the beginning, the gospel didn't have an open field. It was the Word of God was hated. Jesus Christ was hated so much that they took him to the cross and crucified him. Of course, we understand and know why that happened. But they can't handle the truth. It lived in an age where the things of God was presented, but people were possessed with bitterness and contrary views and angers, and they didn't want the Word of God. You know, people today still don't want the Word of God. And it convicts, and they don't like that convicting power of God. They don't like the wooing power of the Holy Spirit. And so what they do to be sort of religious, and there is a difference between religious and Christianity, they'll take some sort of watered-down perversion of the Word of God and cling to it and read it and claim all these things, but yet they can't take the Word of God as it's supposed to be taken because it's too hard on them. And to live in those days, it seemed to be an impossibility for the Christians. Man, they were beat down. They were battered. Every now and then, maybe we were made fun of and ridiculed a little bit. But these people, they were beat down. And we see, but what God did. God had His Word gain foothold in society and gain some good footing, and to the point where we just read in this verse 20, so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. And I tell you today, whether we want to accept the Word of God, it's going to grow. Whether we want to accept the Word of God or not, it will prevail. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but His Word will not pass. You can get everybody hating the Word of God, and you get everybody against it. You can get people to burn it, but I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get rid of the Word of God. It's here to stay. It will be that Word that judges all of mankind. Amen. And so we saw that Paul was a narrow preacher when he preached. Now, he didn't come with flowery words, no. He just came with one message and one message only. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, we read this. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The gospel is so important to share with people. That is what's going to help them with their need, the Word of God. And so, as we looked at that, we came to the understanding it is the Word of God that's going to help this church. It's the Word of God that's going to help our life and our family. You say, well, I've got family that has refused the Word of God now. They used to be so much involved in it. Now they refuse it and they don't want to hear it. Now here's what I got to say about that. I think first of all, we need to take a self-look at ourselves. Amen. Make sure that our heart's where it needs to be. My little brother, my baby brother, brought a good message Wednesday night. If you missed it, you missed a good deal. He had a cow's heart out up there on the platform, and he used the cow's heart, and you know, and how we stab ourselves and stuff. And I looked at it a little bit different. I looked at it, if you're not serving God, you eat your heart out, man. I'm happy, amen? That's when I'm really happy. But you say, well, I have some family members that used to be so much apart, but they're not anymore. Let me tell you something. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get ourselves where we need to be, amen? We're going to let them see that we're where we're supposed to be because they know, okay? Then we're going to take some time and have some serious love with our family. That we're going to get out the Word of God and say, now this isn't maybe mom or dad talking or kids talking to their parents or you know, a nephew to an uncle and an aunt or so on and so forth, an uncle and aunt to one of their nieces or nephew. But what we're going to do is we're going to get ourselves right with this book right here. And then as the year goes on, we're going to sit down and have some serious conversation to those family members of ours that we truly love. We're not going to go at them and preach at them, no, no, no. But we're going to do a lot of praying. We're going to talk about this tonight. But we're going to do a lot of praying before we go. And we're going to ask God to fill our mouth and fill our heart and fill our old feeble brains to be able to sit down with them. And it might take more than one conversation, but we're going to sit down with our kids or our parents and we're going to sit down with them and we're going to talk and we're going to give their lives to Jesus. You know, we're going to say, Lord, they're your children, supposedly. If they're not, God, use me to win them. And we're going to get back to sharing with them the Word of God, which they've walked away from. And we're going to show them the Word of God in love. And we're going to let the Word of God work with their hearts. Because when you get the Word of God given to you, it's going to work one way or another. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to just let the Word of God do the speaking. You see, folks, you can have all the great illustrations and you can have all the good little tricks of the, I guess, people try to use, but we need to quit using tricks because it's not a trick. We just need to give them the plans, the simple plan of God. Amen. We just need to get back to the Word of God and feed them the Word of God. And at first it's going to be bitter to them, but I tell you what, once it sets in there and they get right, it's going to be sweet as honey. It's going to be a blessing to him. It's going to be like a big, and I'm not much of a milk drinker, but I tell you what, when you got chili, ice cold milk sure chases chili down real good. Amen. Woo, have mercy. It's good. That's what we're going to do. Out of love, we're going to talk to our family members and say, you know, you used to stand for this and you used to stand for that. Now the Word of God hasn't changed. Now I'm here to encourage you and to love you. For you not to change from the Word of God. If there's a change, we want you to change back. Amen? That's like somebody wearing some decent clothes and going to bell bottoms. Now, I used to be a bell bottom wearer. Don't get me wrong. Now, bell bottoms of today are a lot different than bell bottoms of yesterday. They had to start bailing them way up here, but when I was a kid, they didn't start bailing them till right there at the knee bone. You know? But bell bottoms are history. Amen? We got some better clothing, amen? Sinner. But we're going to get our minds back on God and our minds back on doing right. the way we know God. We want to help people not to have this spirit of rebellion in any area. But God, I know what's right. I've been fighting it for some dumb reason. And any reason you fight God's dumb, amen? And we're gonna help them. So the gospel method. There's a few methods I want to talk about. First of all, tonight I want to talk about the gospel method. The next thing I'll talk about, and it won't be tonight, the Holy Spirit method. I want to talk about just the basic principles of God's Word that we need to go back to as individuals, and that we need to continue to stay with as a church. And we need our heart happy to receive God's Word. Amen? I don't think too many are going to be happy. I'm going to pray, Lord, let this go into hearts happy. Amen. Gospel method. You know, we ask, what method did this gospel grow? In this verse 20, it said, and it grew and it prevailed. Well, by what method did it prevail and to grow? Well, through persecution, first of all. It grew through persecution. Many times, persecution causes success. Like I said last week, you bunch of Baptists, a bunch of stubbornest people I've ever seen in my life. You tell Baptists that they can't do something, and they're going to do it just to show you that they can. Amen? And if you have the world out there saying you can't serve God, you look at me and I said, sit down in that chair and watch me. Amen? You just sit down there. I'll show you what I can do. Well, I want to tell you something, church, tonight. The devil is saying, you can't serve him. Don't serve him. And instead of saying, devil, you sit right there and watch me and I'll show you. We go, okay. Okay. Well, I don't want to be persecuted. Hey, that's a badge we all ought to be glad to wear. Amen. But through persecutions when it prevailed. The church was wrong. At the early church, Megan. The early church was wrong. Now, God had told the early church, you go out into the highways and the byways. You go out to the whole world and preach the gospel. They didn't go. So God says, okay, I'm going to teach you to go. So he allowed persecution. He didn't persecute the church. He just stood back and allowed the devil to do his work and persecute. And I tell you what, that persecution drove Christians everywhere. And when they went with the word of God. And they told people how they could get saved. And people were changed. And their life was made fresh and anew. Churches were established throughout all of creation. And it was persecution that did that. I like Brother Custard. His church is a missionary church. He's had a lot of missionaries go out. Now, most of them go to South Africa. But South Africa's big, and it needs a lot of preachers. Amen, missionaries. But I want Bible Baptist Church to be known for missionaries, yes, but for preachers. I want to see preachers coming out of this congregation. And I don't want God to have to persecute us to get preachers out of here. Amen? I want to establish this church to be a church that's known for developing preachers for the cause of Jesus Christ. We can do it. I believe God wants us to do it. I know He does because He tells us to save them, get them saved, get them baptized, and train them and send them out. Amen? But we got to have a spirit. A spirit of the gospel in our hearts to obey it. You know, in those earlier days, and one preacher wrote this, persecution many times causes success. It was cradled in opposition and fed on the milk of hatred. And isn't that the truth? It was cradled in opposition. From the very beginning, Satan tried to fight the word of God. But in the end, Satan was destroyed and defeated by the word of God. For instance, Mount Temptation in the book of Matthew. Now we know how God handles Satan. He grabs him by the ear and throws him out of heaven. We know in the book of Revelation he's going to grab him by the nape of the neck and he's going to take him, Brother Mike, and he's going to throw him in the bottomless pit, chained up for 1,000 years. He's not getting out until God lets him out. Say, but why did he take the challenge of Satan in Matthew on Mount Temptation different? He did that for us. Because we can't grab him by the ear or the nape of the neck. We got to defeat him and his cohorts with the word of God, the gospel. You see? That gospel's got to be ever living in our mouth and in our mind and in our hearts, ready to confess Christ Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Now, back in those days, as in these days, men were intrigued with this new thought. You know, we always want to know things we don't know. I watch a lot of documentaries because I want to know something I didn't know. I'm always trying to learn. I like to learn new things. I had a buddy named Don Cordell that used to live here, and every year we promised each other we'd learn something different every year. Man, we learned to shoot bows together. We learned to dig wells by hand together. Now, that's something I didn't need to know very long, brother. There's a reason God invented motors, amen, on the back of trucks. One year we learned to tan hide. Shoot. My mom and daddy been tanning hides for years. Amen. But man, we tanned possums. We tanned deer. We did it several ways. We used their brains. We did it with acid. So many. We always wanted to learn. As Christians, we should always want to learn more about our God. So we can, I mean, it ought to be a desire to know more. People, you say, I don't have that kind of desire. You do too. Have you ever noticed people standing around and whispering, it just kills you because you want to know what they're talking about? You say, I'm not like that. Prevaricator. You say, what does that mean? Liar. You want to know. We want to learn God's word. We want to develop it in our heart and in our minds. So when it comes time that we can share it, that with the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we can present God's word. It's always good. But in this gospel method of persecution, there was something that came with it. They adopted prayer as a root during that persecution. You say, well, I don't pray like I ought to. Well, shame on you. You need to start praying like you ought to. Amen? You've got a lot to pray for. You say, well, really, I don't have a lot to pray for. I beg to differ with you. You got a lot to pray for. We got missionaries. Well, I don't know who my missionaries are. I don't know why not. We've taken one of them every month and put them up as a missionary to pray for, and you still don't know who your missionaries are? Well, give me a list. I gave you a list for the last 3 or 4 years. Well, print out a list every month. I've given you one of our missionaries. And shame on you if you didn't keep it. Amen? But we pray. They adopted prayer. After Christ left, they didn't go run and go just immediately and advance their cause for Christ. No, they didn't. What did they do? The Bible says they went into the upper room and they hung out there for a little bit. And you know what they were doing when they were in that upper room? Guess. If you've been listening to me, if you hadn't turned me off, how many's turned me off? Hands everywhere, okay. What did they do? They went in and they prayed. Everything great that's done for God, there's always prayer first. You're going to do something great for God, you're going to spend a lot of time in prayer. Now, I don't mean 6 months in prayer before you get started. You understand what I'm saying? But you're going to pray. I want to show you this real quick. They shut themselves up to pray. The Bible says they prayed continually, they prayed earnestly, and they agonized in their prayer. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, would you join me? The book of Acts, chapter 1, and in verse 12. Jesus was received up in the clouds. While they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. Which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing into the heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from Mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. In verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both, let me just give you some names, Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James and Simon and Judas, which was actually who? It wasn't Judas Iscariot, but who do we know him as? Jude. Jude. And he said, James' brother, Jude. Now, he didn't say Jesus' brother. He said James' brother. And we've talked about that before. And he says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. He says, they went up into the room and they prayed. Their first victories that they was going to have all started because they stopped, first of all, and prayed. You know, when we do something great, I invite the whole church to come down and I say, let's start praying about this. Amen. I told you something great might happen this year. I don't know if it's this year, next year, or whatever. We're following God's leadership. But I want to tell you something. I expect this church to say, Lord, I don't know what's on our preacher's heart, and I don't know what's going on, but I want to tell you something right now. If it's going to advance your cause, I'm for it. I'm behind it 100%. That souls will be saved, and Christians will be ignited for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the way we pray to the Father. So their first victories were gained by being on their knees. You know, before the real battle had to be faced, they needed some time to talk to the Lord. Anytime you want to go talk to somebody about Jesus, I don't think you ought to just go running up to him and talking to him. I think if you're going to seriously sit down and have a good discussion with somebody, I think the night before, you need to get on your knees and pray about it. I think you ought to get up that next morning and get on your knees. Lord, you know my heart's desire, how I want to talk to these people. Lord, you prepare me today as I go my way and think upon these things. You have a break at work, you pray about it. You get your lunch break, you pray about it. Get your afternoon break, you pray about it. You get your supper break, you pray about it. And then go. And then go. God, open their hearts. Make their hearts soft to your word. Half the battle can be fought on our knees, folks. And then take the gospel to them. We prepare ourselves. They gained their courage through prayer. They gained godly vision through prayer. And the message was born in their heart and prepared in their heart and was given while they prayed. You say, what's getting ready to happen? The day of Pentecost is getting ready to take place. And before that day came, this church had been prayed up. They made sure that they were right with God. They had set their mind to the Word of God. And when the day arrived, the Lord, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, He, because these Christians had prepared themselves for great things, Peter was able to stand up and preach a message. A message that was great, that touched the soul. that reached into the heart of mankind. It was a message as he was preaching. I'm sure the other disciples were praying and the lady folks were praying and the other men were praying. And as he began to preach, the Holy Spirit moved on the congregation and opened their hearts and let their ears be open. And through the message of God's word, great things happened that day. What kind of great things? Verse 41 of chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that same day there was added unto them, the local New Testament church, about 3,000 souls. Why? Because it all started on their knees. You say, well, that's just crazy. No, you got to think about it. What was their attitude just days earlier? What was their attitude just 50 days earlier? They hated Jesus. They hated him so much that they grabbed him and took him to false judgment and hung him on the cross. They spat on him. They plucked his beard. They whipped him. They put the crown of thorns. Yet the power of God's people beginning in prayer and then carrying the gospel to these people changed their hearts once again. To the point about 3,000 people accepted Jesus Christ. They did this preaching without fancy mics. I'm not going to go there, brother. They did this preaching without fancy buildings. What they did, they went to the rudiment, the Word of God, the very basic. The Word of God. And they preached Jesus crucified. My brothers and sisters in Christ, these people that we're going to talk to, they don't need fancy schmancy. They don't need anybody to try to dumbfound them with their wisdom. We need to have the mind of Paul that I came to you with this simple message. God loved you so much that Jesus came. He came and he died on that rugged cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. They took him off the cross and they put him in a rich man's grave. Just borrowed it for 3 days, by the way. And he rose up triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. He did that so you could go to heaven. My brothers and sisters in Christ, what more do you need to tell somebody? Do you want to see people saved this year? Do you want to see... I didn't get one amen. Have you shut me off? Do you want to see the pews in front of you filled? Do you want to see the pews behind you filled? Do you want to see the pews beside you filled? My brothers and sisters in Christ, it's only through the prevailing and eternal Word of God. Oh, I got a better way. I'm going to dumbfound them with my wisdom, or I'm going to use some clever joke or some clever saying. You might as well take that stuff up and wad them up and throw it in the trash. Because that's all you're going to get, somebody full of trash. You give them the Word of God and you've got something. You've got somebody who will be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. I'm almost done. Aren't you glad? The Word of God's most valuable to us. You know, back for those disciples in the book of Acts, Christ Jesus was absent in the flesh. He wasn't there anymore. But I want to tell you something. He was present in the Spirit. Their work was done under His leadership. Today, Christ Jesus is not here in the flesh. I don't care what some nut tries to tell you. He's not here in the flesh. He's in heaven. But I want to tell you something. He's here. His work was established by Himself. And it's going to work today just like it did back there for Him. We don't need any fancy concerts. We don't need any fancy gimmicks. All we need is some people that have come to themselves with this desire. I must tell somebody about my Jesus. You say, but that's not very flashy. We don't need flashy. We've got God. Oh, I know churches that have all these things. They have all the whistles and the buttons. They have all the mood things. The preacher wants to get you all excited. They push a button, some light comes on to excite you. If he wants you to be sad, they'll push another button, another light will come on that will humble you in sadness. Maybe a little bit of music will play in the background. I don't know. You church members here, you're fortunate. Music plays in the background every now and then. I sing to you. Amen. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, it's the Word of God that's going to change you. It's the Word of God that's going to change me. It's the Word of God that's going to change the people we're going to. We're under His direction. They followed the method of Christ and the works that He left them. They lived that method in every trial. They chose a successor for Judas. They selected deacons, the good men of that day. When they met an imposter, the Word of God showed it. When they were dealing with the sick, the Word of God was there. When they were living lives in peril, the Word of God was there. And they did it all by prayer. You having trouble at work? Let me ask you something. When in the world did you put it to prayer? You having trouble with your mate? Let me ask you something. When in the world did you put it to prayer? You having trouble with life itself? When did you put it to prayer in the Word of God? When you're having trouble with your children, when did you put it to prayer in the Word of God? Prayer changes things, doesn't it? The Word of God changes things. It's the Word of God when you're so scared, you're too afraid to come to the front. The Word of God touches you and the Holy Spirit says, it's time to go, and you go. When you're out of God's will and you try to dodge the preacher or try to dodge church services, somewhere in public, somebody's going to lay some word on you and you can't run. You say, well, I just won't go to church so it doesn't bother me. If you're a child of God, God's going to wake you up in the middle of the night and that word is going to come and haunt you all night long. Because you can't run from the word. What method? Well, sometimes God uses persecution. But with persecution comes good prayer. And it drives us to His blessed Word. You want success in your life. And how many want success? That's my last statement. I think we all do. Then prayer and the Word of God's got to fill it. Your life. Our Father in heaven, we are truly humbled by the study of your Word. Father, we know in your eyes all things are open, nothing hid. All things are manifested. We know as your word is preached, sometimes it just rips us so hard. Sometimes to the point it hurts. But Father, we know the remedy to it. And it begins with prayer. The prayer of forgiveness. We know the remedy to it is get back in our Bible and start living our Bible in our lives. Father, I want to do so much more for you this year. You know my heart's desire. And I pray for me. Help me. Give me understanding. Give me great wisdom and knowledge. Teach me. Then I pray for my brothers and sisters who are true brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray for their soul's condition. As I am your child, so are they. I pray that prayer will fill their lives. And once again, the Word of God will mean something to them. And Lord, that they just don't have knowledge of it, but they live it daily. The only way we're going to have victory over Satan as a people and a church, as a group, Lord, is if your word is very much alive in our life and in our midst. You know our theme for this year, our heart's desire is to let Christ Jesus reign supreme. Help it not just to be a clever saying, but Lord, help it to be something with meaning in our hearts. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Page 380.